The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now, and it begins with the weekend preview.
Oh, yeah, big football weekend here.
Do we have to swap out the music for this, too?
Probably. Yeah, I'm just realizing that as I hit play.
Yep. So, we'll get to that at some point. The weekend preview. Loaded football slate. It starts tonight with college football conference championship games, college football playoff implications, and then a pretty solid NFL slate on Sunday as well. Tonight, number 24 North Texas and number 20 Tulane in the American Athletic Conference championship game. Winner likely in the playoff as a ranked conference champion. It's tonight at 7 o'clock on ABC and the ESPN app. Tomorrow morning, 11th-ranked BYU, 4th-ranked Texas Tech, Big 12 championship game, 11 a.m. on ABC and the ESPN app. SEC championship game, standalone game in the afternoon, 3 o'clock kick on ABC and the ESPN app. 3rd-ranked Georgia, 9th-ranked Alabama. And then the Big Ten championship game tomorrow night on Fox at 7 o'clock. Number 2, Indiana, and number 1, Ohio State in Indianapolis. That's not all, though. On Sunday, Steelers-Ravens at noon on CBS. This one's interesting. Jason, up in northern Wisconsin, will get Commanders-Vikings at noon on Fox. Down in Madison and Milwaukee, we're going to get Bengals-Bills. Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, noon Sunday on Fox. And then the Sunday night football game, Texans and Chiefs. Texans have been hot as they go into Arrowhead to take on Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. That's your weekend football slate. Tausch.
That's some good ball, yeah. Man.
Any ball
stand
out?
Some good ball, man. Yeah, that's a fun weekend of ball. I'm intrigued by the volleyball matchup tonight. Jesse, are we going to get through North Carolina? Is it going to be a problem?
North Carolina is battle-tested. They have played a bunch of top 25 teams competitively all season in the ACC. They are not to be taken lightly. Kelly Sheffield has never not gone to the Sweet 16 as the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers volleyball team. So I think it's fair to assume and expect Wisconsin will win, but they cannot take their opponent lightly tonight.
Let me ask you this. If we lose to North Carolina tonight, you're going to be overly critical of the Wisconsin volleyball program for not getting it done. Just fair? Is that a fair assessment on your postgame show?
It would be a disappointment if Wisconsin does not win tonight, yes.
I would agree. Okay, and I think they will. That's obviously to start today. That's what I want to see. What are you shaking your head about there, Grimace?
Grimace!
Yeah. He's got a grimace look on his face, like he's shaking his head. Hey, if you got something to say, say it, old boy.
You want Jesse Nelson, if they were to lose, the same man who asked about where Badger football was at one point shouted the phrase, Jason, you would like him to be harshly critical on the postgame show if they were to lose to North Carolina.
Let me tell you a little something. I was very critical of our offense almost every broadcast this season. Very critical. So, and I am an employee of the at the school. Jesse is not. So there is a little difference. Jesse is a journalist. Just ask him. He tells you all the time. I tell you all the time I'm an analyst. I analyze things.
That.
Looking at the weekend, I don't know why you went down that road, Grimacer, but that's the road you wanted to go down.
I wasn't going to say anything until you called me out on it.
You grimaced. Listen, this is a TV show, too. You can't be grimacing and huffing like the big bad wolf and the three little pigs and act like nobody's going to call you on it. This is going to surprise you guys. College football is kind of set. I really want, and I think the Big Ten plan of going 1-2, 3-8, 4-6, 5-7, or whatever that looks like, however they want to break that up, and have elimination games outside of the top two. That needs to happen on Thanksgiving weekend. The calendar needs to move up. Championship weekend has lost its luster. Indiana and Ohio State are both in. Alabama and Georgia are going to be both in. Win, lose, or draw, blah, blah, blah. So the only real elimination game is BYU. BYU wins, they're in. Texas Tech is going to be in. That's the really only elimination game.
Virginia, I'm not as the ACC game is also Saturday night. That's an interesting
kinda,
one.
Kind of, but not really. And let's be honest, ACC, nobody's winning anything in the ACC. Like, it's over. They stink. Let's just be honest. So, you have all these other games that are intriguing. You mentioned, I put this up. This is the game I'm most intrigued by. Nuthwack. This could be the end of the dynasty. The Chiefs are basically eliminated if they lose to the Houston Texans on Sunday. Eliminated. Tommy Brady, everybody trying to say that the Chiefs are like the Patriots. They lose and don't make it with everybody healthy and their starting quarterback, and they don't even make the playoffs. I'm sorry. Good night to that conversation ever. Because dynastic teams don't miss playoffs when people are healthy. They don't. And the Chiefs are there. The Texans can basically punch them in the mouth and knock their teeth out. I'm looking forward to that game the most out of everything else that you just mentioned.
Question for the BKW, ball-knowing weekend guy.
Which one of us?
You can both field it if you like. I am curious if you were Ryan Day or Kurt Cignetti. Is that game for a first-round playoff bye? Is that what the...
No, they'll both get it either way.
Yeah.
They're playing
so
for
what the
both got a bye.
How would you approach
that's
this
that's
game?
My point.
Like,
Indiana
what are you supposed to do
beat Ohio State. Indiana hasn't beaten Ohio State since 88.
Okay, great.
Indiana hadn't won a Big Ten championship. I don't know if they ever have. Maybe. Indiana's all in on doing this. Indiana wants this game, and they're going to have a monster home field advantage.
Yeah.
Tickets are crazy. I think it's $500 to get in.
Woo.
Indiana wants this thing, Jason. Why do they want it? Because all the things I just mentioned. And Cignetti is a lunatic.
Crazy man.
In a good way.
Yeah. I asked Barry Alvarez and Tarek Salah the same question about how would you approach this, and they both essentially laughed at me and said,
"They play to win the game.
You play
I get
to
it.
Win. You're playing
but
hard, no matter what."
But there are other stakes involved, as opposed to like this isn't playing for a berth in the Rose Bowl, and if you lose, you're playing in the Bluebonnet Bowl. Like you're both in the college.
Hey, this
football.
Is what y'all wanted. This is what y'all wanted when you went from 2-4 to now it's going to be 24. So, hey, welcome to irrelevant regular season and championship games.
Yeah, like,
that's what y'all wanted.
Yeah,
you want the NCAA basketball model. You got it. Love it. Enjoy it.
No.
Suck it in because this is what you wanted.
No, I don't, because you do.
No,
you're
is.
Right. You're,
this
you're,
is what you wanted.
This is not what I wanted.
It's 100%
you're,
what you wanted.
I wanted last year's model.
You're right.
No, this is what Jason wanted.
Last year, Ohio State and Indiana would be playing for a first-round bye, as opposed to having to play in the opening round of the playoff. This year, the rules are different, where there isn't as much at stake. I wanted last year's rules to stay the same all the time, but because Boise State got a first-round bye, everybody got irritated.
Well, they shouldn't have had a first-round bye. That's crazy talk. That's crazy. They ended up losing at home, or they ended up losing in their whatever game.
They lost to Penn State in the Fiesta Bowl. It was a decent game.
Average.
We overreacted.
I don't.
We need. By the way, Jason, we need two rounds of games at the home stadium. We don't need all this other stuff anymore. You're going to ask guys to coil up their fields and do it. You need to have. You need to get. You can't ask fans to travel three different times. Play home games until the semis, please. This isn't hard. Hey, we need 800K to put coils in your field. Oh, and by the way, now we're going to end up going out and playing in Texas, El Paso. Like, come on now. Come on now.
Tell us about Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
That's all you got? You got nothing else?
In fairness,
Rob, this
he
is
tried
what you wanted
like six times, and you said this. Is
I only shut him down twice, and he pouted like this little grimace. Speak your mind, and I'll get ready to tell you about Hard Rock. Come on.
I'm good.
You're such a baby.
Totally good.
What a baby Jason is. Just like Jesse was a little baby when he was too scared to go play craps with Coach Alvarez down at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. But he learned. He went, and then his experience became fantastic. He threw dice. You got the slots. Jesse and I are going to cash in on the sports book. Jordan Love with Dak now. Bye-bye. Jordan Love elevates another level with a big game this week. He will be third in the MVP hunt. And then if the Rams slip, he'll be second. And all of a sudden, if we get that one seed and we springboard up, Jordan Love springboards up on that MVP and old T and Gels, we're going to cash in at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Now is the time to experience what true high-limit play feels like, surrounded by the rhythm, indulgence, and unmistakable energy of Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Elevate the high-limit room experience. Deliver premium table games tailored for discerning players. Enhanced game rules, including blackjack, where the dealer stands on a soft 17. Enjoy better odds, faster play, and the kind of authentic high-limit action that sets Hard Rock Casino Rockford apart from other casinos. Again, 60 minutes down the road from the greater Madison area to have all that. The UU Noodle Bar, great food, great entertainment, and, of course, great gaming down at Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
Scott in the YouTube comments informs us that Indiana shared the Big Ten title with Minnesota in 1967. Rob Dabowski joins us next from ESPN.com. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We say hello to Rob Domofsky, although we say goodbye to Bruce Springsteen as our royalty-free music initiative continues. Thanks a lot, YouTube. He is the ESPN NFL Nation Packers beat writer. He is Rob Domofsky on Wilde and Tausch. Rob, good morning. How are you?
Good. What is this music-free initiative you got going on?
So we pay as a company and as a radio station a princely sum that allows us to use music like our buddy Matt Carney and your guy Bruce Springsteen. What's your Airborne Toxic Event? That's one of your bands, right?
One of them.
So we pay for that, but apparently what we pay for that does not carry over to Spotify, or at least they don't think it does, or to YouTube. So we're going to go to some royalty-free music so we can avoid some of those issues, which we're all disappointed by, but we're making it work.
It's interesting because a few years ago I got into trouble with Twitter from just shooting practice, and there's music playing in the background, and that's a rights violation. So I don't know if people really notice that much, but when I shoot video from practice, often I have to mute the sound. So it's a bunch of soundless video. Now, lately it's been great because I've been standing right by the heaters at practice, and those heaters are so loud that you can't hear the music. So at least there's some sound. There is some sound in the video.
And you don't get to hear you and Matt Schneidman and Wes Hodkowitz and Bill Huber yucking it up on the sideline. Hey, speaking of yucking it up, you and Courtney Cronin collaborated on a story about the infamous, to be quite frank with you, I've enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year, quote from the introductory press conference with Ben Johnson. I read that this morning. What is your takeaway on this? And Tausch brought up, and we listened to Steno's comment yesterday while I was talking to Halfley. I'm curious what your diagnosis is for just how much it really means to this coaching staff and what motivator it may or may not be.
Yeah, in fact, one of the lines I threw in the story was filed yesterday morning, but after listening to the coaches, one of the lines that I threw in there, I said 11 months later, it doesn't carry much weight in the locker room, but if anything, it got better responses from members of LaFleur's coaching staff, because as I think it was Pete Doherty, definitely when it applies to Halfley, I'm like, Ben Johnson could be talking about Halfley more than anything because it's his offense going against Halfley's defense last year, obviously, just those two times. But, yeah, I mean, look, if this was week one, it would have been there would have been more juice from the locker room and maybe more juice overall. It's a small part of this game. I think it's interesting. It would be different if one team, you know, let's say the Bears stunk and, you know, they were, you know, 4-9 or whatever they have, 4-8 or whatever they'd be at this point. Then Ben Johnson might have some questions to answer about, well, what maybe you should be worried more about, you know, everybody else than just Matt LaFleur, but that's not the case. So, you know, like, this is a vindictive, grudge-holding business. So don't let anybody fool you. This is in the minds of those guys, not the players. I really don't think the players care. I mean, I asked Love. I said, "Is there any hey, we'll win this one for Matt thing?" And he basically said, "No." You know.
Yeah, you're not winning one for the Gipper. It's not a win for the Gipper type situation. Who do you think LaFleur dislikes more, Shanahan or Ben Johnson?
I mean, right? You know, again, it's like. Ben Johnson is the new one. Like it's just no different than I remember in our early days of covering the team, you know, Holmgren would get mad at you for writing something and you'd think it was the end of the world and he'd call you in or he'd yell at you. And then a week later he'd call Wilde in and yell at him. So it was like, you know, I'm off the hook now. I kind of think that's, and the Shanahan thing, I think is they've made their peace. I think, I mean, it was icy right after Shanahan or John Lynch or whoever tried to call Rodgers and get him to come to San Francisco. But, I mean, the first game after that was a pretty icy handshake, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're friends. I mean, I don't know. I know LaFleur goes on vacation with McVay and his family. I don't know if Shanahan's go along as well.
Rob,
yeah, he tried to steal his quarterback and then you know, beats him in playoff games. It just was interesting. So Aaron Nagler put something out this week that Jason and I thought was really interesting. And why are guys not Lambeau leaping after touchdowns?
Well, I hadn't even noticed. Maybe that
told
makes me
you.
A bad reporter.
You didn't either.
I didn't either.
Yeah. You know, I honestly, Tausch, I don't really care. Like, to be honest, like, to be perfectly frank with you. I don't know. I don't.
Are you Ben Johnson? To be perfectly frank with you, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, and you know what the great thing, going back to Ben Johnson, I went back and watched it, and I put this in the story. Like, I forgot how he paused, chuckled, kind of stuck his lower jaw out, like, with, I'm going to get a zinger here. And then afterwards, he kind of bit the bottom lip. But I don't know, Josh. Like, now I'm intrigued now, I guess. I didn't care before.
It's weird. It's not going to move the needle, but I'm curious because it used to be a big deal. Fans love it. Brings a little extra juice to the game, and
so
now it seems like that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't
Jesse?
Know. I have not done the research on that. I do think, and you and I have talked about this. I mean, we do take the role of conduit to the fans seriously. I agree with you. I don't care what they do to celebrate. But they do. And so I was going to ask a few players today about it, just because I'm curious.
Now I'm going to go back and look at every touchdown scored at home.
No, you're not.
It's easy to do. Like, on the ESPN database, like, literally, if I just put touchdown scored by the Packers, I can watch clips of every single one of them, and I don't even have to go find
them.
Wow.
Rob? Oh, Jason, that's interesting. That's interesting, isn't it? It's that easy. Oh,
must be
good.
Nice
good
that
stuff,
it was
Rob.
That easy. It's not. We don't have access to that database there. But if we did, I'm sure you wouldn't use it anyway. You'd just tell us
to
do it.
I
bet they got some good royalty-free
That's
music
true.
In there, too.
I'll analyze. Exactly.
Good drop in.
Thanks, Rob.
He's sneaky good. So, Rob, since you collaborated with Courtney on your story, I'm curious, did you guys talk at all about are the Bears for real? Like, their point differential, they're barely on the positive side. They've beaten a bunch of backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I don't know what to believe about whether this is legit or not that they're a 9-3 team.
What is that? You used the word just now, and what is that sign behind you? You're Joe or Ted Lasso. I almost said Joe Lasso. Who the hell's Joe Lasso? You're Ted
Tim's
Lasso.
Brother.
You used the word believe, right? Like
right.
You know, Jason, I'm a believer in like confidence and momentum. Like, I think it matters. If you think you're good, you're one step ahead of everybody else, you know? Like, I mean, I just think that's really important. And they're 9-3, man. They've played 12 games, and they've walked out of that locker room ecstatic 9 times. Like, that's euphoria, you know? Like, that means something. So I don't care who they've beaten. I mean, it's the NFL. It's professional football. Like, they've won 9 games in the NFL so far. And I mean, you cannot discount that. I mean, I do think, you know, I think they have some pretty good things going for them. You know, the crazy thing is, it seems like their defense maybe isn't quite as good as Chicago's defense is, but yet they're taking the ball away like crazy. So it's a different Chicago Bears. I mean, it really is. And I mean, I think whether you think they've beaten anybody good or not, I think they're good.
Do you think, and along the same lines of interesting narratives, do you think Micah Parsons is being disrespected?
Oh, that's absurd. I mean, Micah's been great to cover, but I mean, he's some nonsense sometimes. Come on. As Jeff Hapley said, I'd like to see who's disrespecting him. That's the story, right? You know?
Right.
But, you know, Micah, I do think sometimes Micah gets talking and he just kind of goes. I mean, I'm guilty of it too. Sometimes I just go off on a tangent and things come out of my mouth that I probably don't mean or shouldn't say. So I can't rip him for that.
Talking with Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com.
Podcast guy. He needs to get that podcast going again, Micah.
Yeah, he hasn't done that podcast since like January, I think.
No, it's been a while. Indeed.
Rob, what about the Bears' run game against the Packers? I don't want to say depleted, because they're not. They lost Devontae Wyatt, which is a big loss. I get it. But what do you make of that matchup, and how do you kind of view how this game will come down to that, if it will?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, the reality, Jason, is that in training camp, the two guys that are going to start on the interior of the defensive line, Wooden and Brooks, were numbers 3 and 4, right? Because Kenny Clark. So now you're down to your third and fourth defensive tackles. And, you know, the rookies, Stackhouse and Brinson, right, they're rookies, you know? Like, I mean, maybe they can make some plays based on sheer youth and exuberance. But, you know, defensive linemen can make mistakes getting out of gaps, and it can cost you big time on a play. And, I mean, I think that's where you need to keep an eye on is, like, you know, are those guys, you know, we don't know exactly what their assignment is, but you can tell if there's a huge hole, someone got out of their gap. So, you know, I think that's going to be something to watch. I do think getting Quay Walker back, obviously he's not a defensive lineman, but he's a key to guy moves side to side. He goes north, south, excuse me. He's a big factor. And then Quay, you know, by all accounts has had a really good year before the injury a couple of weeks ago. So I do think that helps a little bit. But yeah, I mean, you know, Kenny Clark, I know they haven't had him all year, but Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt were going to be their interior linemen when the season started, and now neither of them is here.
Yeah, I think that trade worked out pretty well for the G&G getting Mike.
100%. Right? Like, I'm not saying it didn't, but, like, those were the two guys every day in training camp that were, you know, getting the starter reps.
Yep. So I thought this was interesting. You heard Ben Johnson raving about the safeties. You know, both McKinney and Williams. Yeah. And Evan Williams has been fantastic. His run fits and, you know, how he reacts. Is this the best safety tandem that you've seen since, as you've covered this team 20-some-odd years?
Okay, so who was Nick Collins partnered with back in the Super Bowl year? Don't tell me.
Morgan Burnett.
Yeah,
right. I mean, Morgan Burnett got hurt. He was hurt.
Morgan Burnett was a good player for
really good
for
player.
That. You know, they ended up Charlie Peppra, I mean, I do think that you know, Atari Bigby, I guess, with Collins for a time, but I think it's right up there, if not better. I mean, Nick Collins was fantastic. Not saying that he's maybe better than McKinney, but you know, that's debatable. But Evan Williams might be better than whoever the number two safety was back then. There's, you know, Evan Williams sort of reminds me of Micah Hyde with better hands. You know, like taking the ball.
I've heard that Micah was a real before.
Really? Okay. Maybe I heard it somewhere and it's in my subconscious. But, you know, guy who's just always in the right place, you know, maybe doesn't blow you away with his, you know, his speed or size or whatever. But to me, I think that's, you know, Evan Williams, and he makes plays. You know, Micah had some plays that hit him in the hands, and I'm one in a playoff game, if I remember right, that maybe could have changed one. But, I mean, Micah was a great player, had a great career. But I think Evan Williams could be on that track.
Yeah, Jesse made that comp when they drafted him. He said that Micah, he reminds him of a young Micah Parsons, and Jesse knows ball. And it was
that was a great call by Jesse.
Hmm. Micah Hyde.
Evan Williams. Yeah, I'm sorry, Jason. We're not all perfect. I screwed that up. Micah Hyde. Rob,
you took my
comparison. How do you look at Caleb Williams?
And gave it to Jesse. If you're going to take my comp and give it to Jesse, you got to get the right Micah.
What do you mean?
You tried to
stop glazing yourself, Jason. Jesse made that comp.
Tried to be a bully, and it backfired on you. Now you gotta own. You gotta take the L here.
What do you mean? I tried to be a bully. I'm giving you a compliment. Let Rob and I talk. You two just chill for a second, and then you can take over. Caleb Williams, what do you think? Where do you see him in his progression? He obviously has been better, but you can't make a living in the NFL being under 60% comp. You can't do it.
Yeah, well, so completion percentage of 58% last among – I don't know what qualified quarterbacks means, but statistically qualified I guess probably means enough attempts based on whatever arbitrary number of attempts that they come up with. But he's last in completion percentage. He is 32nd out of 33 in off-target percentage, and that's on the bad side. And he has the lowest tight window completion percentage, 11%. That's lowest in the league. So – I mean, the numbers, you know, you can't ignore those numbers. So, but that being said, it goes a little bit back to what we started talking about at the beginning, the belief, the moxie, the ability to make plays, you know, when it sort of matters. And he's done that at times, both with his arm and with his legs. I mean, you know, I watched a couple of their primetime games earlier in the season, and it was like within the same game, he looked great and looked terrible, right? So it's. You know, it's not even one week to the next. It's one quarter or one series to the next. And, you know, maybe that's why the takeaways that the defense has gotten maybe has bailed them out at times when he hasn't been great. But, yeah, I mean, those numbers, Tausch, I mean, if he's going to be one of the elite quarterbacks in the league, you know, going forward, those numbers are going to have to go up. And I'm sure they will. I mean, Jordan's completion percentage, I haven't looked at it this week, but, I mean, it's
that wasn't great when he started. Nope.
Right. Last time I looked, he was on pace for the highest completion percentage in his 3 years as a starter. So I do think, you know, there's definitely room to get better. But those numbers they're not good for, you know, for what you would consider a top tier starting quarterback.
Well, it looks like Jason did leave. Jason called my bluff. Oh, there he is. Look at him. He's back.
I was letting you talk to Rob. I know you wanted to talk to Rob.
Oh, you're such a little powder. Okay, so Rob.
Rob's been
Jason,
nice to me.
Just so like,
Rob,
we have to make sure we pat him on the back.
You.
Hold up. One thing.
No,
Rob,
no, one
Jason
last question,
compared Micah Hyde to Evan Williams right after the draft. He is so smart. He knows ball. He's a draft connoisseur.
I think they messed it up.
Oh, my God.
So, Rob,
LaFleur talks in 4 minutes here. So
yeah, you've got to have practice after LaFleur.
yep.
What's the concern level with Javon Bullard? And do you feel confident that Nate Hobbs can step in if they need him to?
You know, to me, if that's the case, they better play Nate Hobbs in the slot because Nate Hobbs on the edge did not work. If that's the way they go, you know, and it gives Nate Hobbs a chance to redeem himself. You know, he has been, it's not been a good signing, but maybe he's can make a play or two and sort of turn his season around, turn things around. I don't think, barring a torrid interception pace and a couple of pick sixes based on the contract, I don't think he's going to be back here next season. He's owed like a $6.5 million roster bonus in March. If they don't pay it, they can cut him and save a little bit of cap space. It's not a disaster. So, but yeah, in the short term, you know, that's the way I would go. And I guess the other thing to watch going here in the next couple of days is, I guess, Jason, I have my Jaden Reed added to the roster story pretty much done because it looks like I think that would be, you know, coming tomorrow, you would think. So I do think that's those are the two things sort of to watch, roster-wise, lineup-wise, or whatever, going into the game.
All right, get to LaFleur. Thank you for your service, Rob. That is Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com. You can read his story with Courtney Cronin on ESPN.com about the their collaboration on the Ben Johnson quote during his press conference back in January.
When did Micah become such a popular name?
It's replaced Mark.
You're right. It may have.
And Ruth.
Has there been a Mark on the Packers roster in a while?
It's a great question. I will research that in the commercial break after I tell you about Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. David and his team. Maybe he's got a lawyer or two named Mark on his team. I'd have to go look at Gruber-Law.com. What I do know is I don't have to look far to see all their successes and everything that David and his family do in our communities. They are the originals, the OGs when it comes to giving back to the community as a law firm. They have been fantastic in that realm. And, of course, he's also fantastic at making sure they win your case. So go to Gruber-Law.com or make the call. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
To Rob Domofsky, who headed down to the Matt LaFleur press conference, which is not yet underway, so it looks like Matt's a minute or two delayed, but we will hear and see what he has to say. Rob will keep us updated on that. Thanks for his time beforehand. Jesse, you asked a question that I guess I hadn't really noticed. What was the question you asked me?
For those who are watching on our video streams on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, do you think that the shirt that I'm wearing today is a lady shirt?
Hmm.
Because
what makes you think it's a lady shirt?
I definitely bought it in the men's section. It is a men's shirt. It is sized as a men's shirt. And Becca, who is not home, they're up north for their annual girls candy making weekend for the holidays, which is a ton of fun for them, and they bring back delicious chocolate things for me. When I wore this the other day, she said, "That's a lady's shirt. You shouldn't wear that." And I said, "No, it's not. I bought it in the men's section. It's very clearly a men's shirt." And no,
okay.
She said, "No, you shouldn't wear that." But I wore it today anyway. And I'm proud of it. It's a nice shirt. I like this shirt.
Would you be kind enough to turn toward the camera so we can, so I can screen record this and share it with our fans so they can be the judges? Because I'm sure they will be very nice about it and very supportive. And thoughtful kind.
Well, I just walked out to our office, and this has been bothering me since I wore it in today. As I've been and then I asked a couple people, and they looked at me, and they just started laughing like you are right now. So I think everybody's in agreement with Becca that it probably does look like a lady's shirt.
What did Becca think makes it a lady's shirt? I didn't even think anything of it.
I think it's like the positioning of the letters is like higher.
Around your bust line?
And then there's like these lines on the sleeves kind of thing. That was rude.
Were you trying to imply that it's like a cleavage inducer?
No, I wasn't.
That sounds like that's what you were saying.
Why you
that would
do
be
that?
The line of demarcation of a women's shirt is, I think, what Jesse's point was. I never thought this was a lady's shirt, and when he brought it up, I thought, that's a fun topic, but I don't see it. It looks like a throwback shirt to me.
I think it's
looks
a nice
old
shirt.
School
yeah.
to me.
What? So the question I have is, what did Becca see in this shirt that made her think?
And did
she
our teammates agree
it,
with
you?
Her?
Yeah, oh yeah, everyone in the
office studio.
Agrees. Everyone in the office agrees. Yeah, with Becca, it looks like it's a lady shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. But what is it about the shirt? Just great the cleavage question. Inducing? Is that what it is?
Would you stop saying that?
Well, that no, that's what Jason said. I'm just repeating. Okay. I don't get it. It doesn't seem like it to me, but I am not the fashion cat of this group, as you know.
Cleavage.
Whoa, Nelly.
Okay, we need to go to break. I can't continue this segment.
I thought we were doing Steinhoffels here. I thought we were doing our sleepers.
No, we're doing that next.
We should have.
Okay.
Jesse, I think it's important to say this as frequently as I can. I really appreciate how often you're a good sport, and you did not.
Oh, they're
have
getting
to bring
after me in YouTube, aren't they?
I'm not looking in there. I'm not in the YouTube comments currently. I was in there a little while. We got a guy Matthew there who's not a big fan of you and I. So I look forward to him enjoying the days that I take off, so he can enjoy whatever. You should take those days off too, and we'll see how that goes. I will say this. I think it's a fun old school throwback shirt, and I.
Matty Kunin, look at Matt Kunin. Because when he said that, I thought Michael Scott did that on The Office. And then he looked at it and said, Miss Serious is the label. Is there a Miss Serious label on your shirt?
There is not.
Mysterious. Hey, that jacket has no pocket. Those pants have no pockets. Oh my gosh.
Ugh. JingleForYourKringle.com is where you can sign up to play in our Jingle for Your Kringle contest. The rules are very simple. All you have to do is create a 60-second or less jingle for Racine Danish Kringles. You record it, you send it into us on ESPNWisconsin.com, and you will be entered to win Kringle for a year. It's easy. Just sing into your phone like the old headlines used to be on Wilde and Tausch. Very easy to do. Get creative. The only rules, under 60 seconds, and you have to include their tagline. It's not just a treat. It's a tradition. Go to jingleforyourkringle.com to submit your entry and to find out more about the contest presented by Racine Danish Kringles. And if you don't want to sing, but you still want to celebrate the holidays with Racine Danish Kringle, just call 800-4-DANISH or go to kringle.com for more. We will get to our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week next, so stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
they with an interception on Caleb Williams, and he plays nickel, which I think he has proven. If you're going to have him on the field, he's probably better there than outside. So if he ends up having to play because of Javon Bullard's ankle and they decide to play it safe with him, big opportunity for Nate Hobbs, and maybe he gets a pick and wins me a Steinhoffel's Sleeper of the Week. Those are our picks. You can share yours on the Wildy and Tausch Twitter feed, and you can also take advantage of another great sale at Steinhoffel's. This holiday season, make your home the place everyone wants to be with the Home for the Holidays sale at Steinhoffel's. Right now, you'll save at least 10% off store-wide. Plus, take advantage of Steinhoffel's 18-month 0% special financing. Paula and I did that with our furniture. We finally got our couches after all those years because in part of the 0% financing. You can take advantage of that. And because last weekend's snowstorm kept so many shoppers at home, they're giving everyone another chance at an extra deal.
No way. They're not. No. Is that right?
Take an additional $100 off every $999 that you spend now through Sunday. Bring comfort home for the holidays. Shop in store or anytime online at Steinhoffels.com.
That's awesome.
Thanks, Steinhoffels.
You know what, Steinhoffels? We appreciate you doing that. You don't have to do that. They did it.
The 11 o'clock hour begins with our prize picks of the week, and it begins in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.